with but Jesus, I know your character, and I know your heart, and I know your love, and it always lifts us up. It ministers to us. So God, loose your spirit tonight, and I pray that ministry would happen. Come. We all have a point of need, and I just pray for your provision tonight. Holy Spirit of truth, protect our time, minister to us, bless us, provide for us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Galia. Yes, absolutely. You can be seated. We're going to launch here in just a minute into what we call our open mic night. Easy for you to say. The heart of this, I'll coach you a little bit, is to hear what the Holy Spirit's been doing in you. And I am looking forward to tonight. I felt this for the last couple months that we've done this, that the Lord wants to speak corporately through all of us. And it may be hard to discern in just one sharing or the next, but I think when we piece them together, a picture starts to emerge. So I'm excited about tonight. I'm anticipating really hearing with spiritual ears. Before we get into that, there's a couple things. Number one, I don't have the announcement slide, but I built it for Sunday. We're introducing a new ministry. Dennis, you want to talk about Restoration Station right now? Or no? Yes? No? I thought
sure.
Tonight, Thursday, Sunday? I'll talk about it.
We'll talk about
okay.
it. Go ahead, you talk about it.
Well,
we'll both talk.
Okay. Again, we're going to be announcing it Sunday, but for the Thursday night group, this might be one of those puzzle pieces that will make sense to you. And on Saturday night, starting in March, second Saturday in March, I think, we're starting what we call the Restoration Station, which is our term for a night of spurring each other on to restoration. And it's going to be kind of a model like very close to Celebrate Recovery, if you're familiar with CR, but it'll be our version of that. Yeah, it won't be CR exactly. But every Saturday night, and kicking off with barbecue, you want to add to that?
Everybody's welcome in this. You know, if you've been in recovery, if you're in recovery, if you aren't in recovery, you know. Again, it's not just about people who are struggling, but it's also about people who can encourage others and to support other people. And it is about a family. It's coming to know who we are in Christ and how God created us. And to walk away from the world, you know, and who better than a bunch of us people, you know what I mean? This is our family, right? And those it's not us and them, it's us. We're no different and we're no better, but those are our brothers and sisters out there. And if you know somebody who's struggling or looking for a so-called meeting, this isn't going to be just a meeting. We're taking ground back.
Amen.
And we're going to fight. We're standing and we're going to fight against this pull of the world and step into what Christ really has for each and every one of us and each and every person that comes through that door. We are going to launch on March 7th with a barbecue and a massive amount of prayer. And each one of us has the ability to pray. So.
Special guest coming, right?
Pastor Kelly is going to come down from Praise Hallelujah, another ministry that we fell partnership with. Hopefully, Mama Lee will be able to come down and participate in this. You know, again, this isn't just Freedom River. This is the kingdom. This is we're kingdom builders, and you don't have to belong to Freedom River.
Right.
Nobody has to belong to this church to be able to participate in this ministry. So, again, this is a kingdom-minded ministry, and there are no walls and no barriers and no separation. Amen? All right.
So help us pray that in. And I like the way you said we probably all know people that are looking for a meeting. Yeah. And many times people will feel more comfortable going to a meeting than coming to church. So that's kind of the strategy. But we definitely are going to equip them with their original design.
Yeah.
And, you know, the start of meetings are going to declare who we are in Christ. And it's going to be scripture-based and super encouraging, super fun, building relationships. And as Dennis said, if they don't come to Saturday or Thursdays, that's fine. But we feel prompted to launch and start this. So keep that in prayer. And please, if the Lord leads you to participate, Dennis is right. We need people on every end of the spectrum to come and be an encouragement and help us create that momentum and that synergy. Yeah, Cindy.
There isn't going to be any pot and there's no luck. It's going to be truth and it's going to be Jesus.
So. Did that make it on the tape?
Well, so anyways, we're going to praise God, but you know, this first night is going to be, it's going to be a barbecue. We're putting it on. We're going to supply everything. So, but in the future, yeah, it's going to be open. We're going to adjust and adapt and include people. You know, anybody who knows how to cook, Lynn, it's going to, you know, everybody can participate in one way or another. And just like we said at the beginning, you know, even if you're not struggling, you have something to share. You have something to share with people who come in. So we need everybody. You know what I'm saying? We need everybody on board. And we're going to rock Tacoma, okay? Can I say that? Is that a prophetic word?
That is a prophetic word.
Okay, we're going to start this off tonight. We're going to rock Tacoma.
Amen.
And we're going to take ground back. And God's going to do it through this place and through you.
Yeah.
And you are going to be the beginning.
And I'm excited that I get to be here. I was actually scheduled, I and a small team of us, to be in South Korea, but that trip got canceled. If you've been watching the news, there have been more and more travel restrictions, and South Korea really got hit hard to the point where they've even banned public meetings, which is the main reason we were going there, to hold public meetings. So we had to cancel our trip. God knew and was not a surprise, and I believe it's the right decision, not only for us, but for them. We told them next year, but I'm excited because that means I get to be here and the inaugural meeting and some of the other leaders in town that have like-mindedness with us to be here. So again, I wanted to spend the extra time talking about this with our Thursday night prayers, which is really the backbone of faith that we are ministering on. All right, so enough with announcements. Let me talk a little bit about what we're doing tonight. Number one, I really feel like many of you I've had a prayer of your heart, probably longer than you realize, probably more defined than you realize. And I'm praying tonight the Holy Spirit gives you even more revelation for you personally. And there's some definition to that prayer that maybe you've forgotten or maybe you didn't realize was a cry of your heart. But when you hear it spoken out verbally, you're going to go, oh, yeah, me too. The other thing is, I really feel, and this is kind of hard to quantify, but I really feel that God has us in the midst of a momentum. And this momentum, we can call whatever you want, but it includes you. And that's why it's so important that you feel, if you feel prompted at all, no obligation, obviously, but if you feel prompted at all, come in and share even your little bit. And Lauren's in here. Lauren, thank you for being such a leader in this. I love it when you run up here, share your little bit, run back. Come over there, share your little bit, run back. I mean, I think everybody enjoys that so much. But the point being, you are part of that momentum. It's not much of a move of God, or it's not much momentum if there's one guy standing up front going, rah, 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 yeah, 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 this is God, this is God. It is a momentum when all of us as the people of God come together and go, yes, Lord, and amen. So again, you may feel your part is small. It's not. Well, maybe it's short. That's okay. But don't put it in the category of insignificant. It may be short, but can I say it's very significant? And so part of that momentum includes you. So a lesson learned from a couple of months ago, we kind of enjoyed God's presence and sat here until we were almost out of time, and I have to jump up, and I have the unfortunate duty of kind of watching the clock so you don't have to. But don't wait to the end, okay? Come as soon as you're feeling prompted, and we can even line up. That's okay. We'll figure it out. But what that means is I'm not going to be managing the microphone, so to speak. You're going to be on your own between you and the Holy Spirit of truth that is going to be sharing. I'm excited about what God is doing through us, all of us together. And our role is to say yes, to come together in unity, to worship. We've done that. And I believe the Lord is going to define a next step for all of us. So that prayer that you've been praying, it's coming to pass. And God's going to provide a very specific answer. It may not look like what you imagined. It may not even look like what you wanted. Can I say it's going to be even better and greater, because that's who our God is. So I'm going to pray for our time, and then I'm going to sit down, and we'll just let you come up as you feel led. So Holy Spirit of truth, guard this time, but also speak loud and clear and prompt us. Get us out of our seats if needed, but Lord, we want to hear from you through your people of faith. Ordinary men and women, yes, but we have all signed up to live supernaturally. So that means we are your sheep and we hear your voice. And we recognize your voice. And we don't want to hold back, God. We want to love you with all our heart, mind, and soul, but Jesus, we know you're teaching about the second commandment, and that's to love each other. So we're not going to withhold. We're going to break those cycles of withholding if that's all we've inherited. But according to 1 Peter, we don't have to walk in that empty life that we've inherited from our ancestors. Lord, this is a new time, and these are new creations, new people, breaking generational patterns and standing up, God, and saying, I'm not going to withhold. I'm going to bless. I'm going to promote. I'm going to encourage. Lord, if you speak and want me to share, I will speak. If not, I won't. It's that simple. So, Lord, we love you and thank you for this night ahead of time. Thank you. But thank you that we get to hear from you ultimately through everyone that shares. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We do have somebody that's going to go first, only because I told her I'd help her set up a little bit. So Cindy, come on up. She's going to break the ice. And Kathy, you want to help me?
I thought he wasn't going to do this. Okay.
Well, only because she needs the podium.
Is that good?
Can somebody come here and help me?
One person. If you want to.
No, you don't have to drink anything. Let me get something.
Okay, so we were upstairs. We were praying. First of all, Pastor said to me one of these days, I don't remember, he said to me, he reminded me about Thursday and that it's mic, open mic. And I said, oh, yeah, thank you, thank you, you know. Well, today I was with my planning, and I really didn't feel like coming. But I had the pastor's voice in my ear. And so I came in, and we were upstairs, we were praying. And so God showed me, gave me a vision, and then he gave me a verse. So I'm going to... Okay, so today... Can you help me with this? Yeah. So today we were in the... we were doing the food bank. And I noticed that a lot of ladies came, and they felt unworthy. They felt dirty. They felt... like, they just put this mask of, I can do all the things, you know. Yes, there is a God. Yes, they're giving me food, whatever. But, you know, they don't share. You know, they try not to open. But, so what I brought here, it's kind of weird, but God showed me this. This is sometimes us. We are dirty. We, you know... We can look through us. We get dirty by what people say, by what we do. We get dirty tons of way. And this cup of water, would you want to drink it? We don't. We don't want to drink this water. And so what God was showing me is on this verse. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to cry. On Matthew 5, he says, one day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. As you understand these things that I'm going to be reading, that's what God's doing through you. He says... God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful. I can hold this. Can you help me with that? Because that's like this. There, that. Okay. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose heart... Can you throw the water in here?
For
yeah, this one.
Oh, this one. In here?
Yep. Keep throwing it in there. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted, doing what's right, for the kingdom of heavens are theirs. So what God was showing me is that, you know, it doesn't matter everything that we go through and how bad it hurts us. At the end, he's going to do this. Yeah. He's going to do this. He's going to clean that water until you are, can you put it here? Until you're like this. And when you get this clear, a lot of people want to drink from your water. So it doesn't matter what people will say to you, what people say to this woman that come here, what the circumstances did to them, that they feel ashamed. When I see this woman's face and hands, dirty face, and how their heart is and how they're in pain, I get to understand that God sees me differently. Amen. And God sees this woman differently. And it doesn't matter how dirty they are and how they've been just burned and dirty, whatever. God sees them in a perfect way. And that's how we should look each other. Let's look each other in this perfect way, how God sees you. And let's be humble and understand that
We were there, probably not with the bad nails and dirty nails, but we probably lied. We probably did something to somebody else. And let's just so, just this, sow that mercy and that love from God. And that's what I wanted to share. God was just telling today to show that love, because you are loved. And see people how God sees you. The only way you know how God sees you is when you know God. You know God. Thank you.
Wanted to share, when we were singing that song "Here I Am Waiting," I felt like God was reminding me that you're not doing it with your own strength. Another thing that I felt like he was saying was that every stronghold is broken.
God is so good. I feel like a new season is coming.
Amen.
And is coming, and because my prayer has changed. My prayer has changed to God, just give me your peace. Because I've always been so emotionally driven. And man, my prayer has changed, so change is coming. I've been doing a lot of writing, like, you know, because God speaks to me, and I get so busy with work and everything going on in my life, and I forget to write it down. I say all the time, oh, I need to write that down. Remember to write it down. But it's not, God don't work that way. You know, and so I have to write it down and be encouraged in that moment, or the encouragement leaves. That's just how I roll with God. And so I've been writing a lot of stuff down. So in Psalms 51:10, it says, create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore in me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. I've been running on empty lately. Like my love tank has been empty. And as soon as I read that the other day on the bus on my way to work, I was like, oh, that's right. Like, it's all you the whole time, you know? And I was like so filled up with joy. Where's my other page? Oh, here it is. No, it's not. Sorry. Oh, here it is. Okay. So Jeremiah 29:10, because I think people forget about the other verses that are connected to 29:11. because there are other verses connected to it. Someone I know taught me that. Read the verse before and the verse after. 29:10 says, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me, and you will find me when you seek me, declares the Lord. I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the places from which I carried you into exile. I just don't know if anybody in this room knows, but
Love does not mean harm. If it hurts, that is not love. If you're hurting and someone says, I love you, that's a lie. It's a lie of the enemy, and he wants you to rethink that, and he wants you to believe that. So please know that it's a lie.
A lot of people have been talking about this momentum, this revival that's coming. And I thought about it. My ex-daughter-in-law came to church. I invited her. I said, just come for a breath of fresh air. And I'm so thankful that this is a church. When you come in it, nobody's gossiping about somebody else. We're talking about the good things. Wow, she got that. Did you hear that? God's doing this. We're so excited about what God's doing. That's such a great thing that you're just excited about living for God, doing for God. We want to hear something good. Oh, they got a job. They got a job. They're doing this. They got that. We're just excited. We're just one big happy family that hugs each other a lot. And we're excited for good. And it's the perfect place for God to put his revival. Because it's a place that we're going to nurture him, and we're going to love him, and we're going to support him with the word. And I'm thankful.
Amen. There's just something about this place. I wasn't planning to come up here and talk about anything tonight, but it's amazing how things work. You know, I was down and out a little bit yesterday, and I was wanting to talk to Dennis, and I was bugging him and calling him, and my wife was texting him and everything we could to get a hold of him. And finally I called, and he called me back, and he said, yeah, you know, I'm going to be at the food bank tomorrow. And he says, there's going to be prayer in the morning at 9. And I said, okay, great, I'll be there. And, you know, I came, and prayer was amazing, like it always is. And I've had a lot of uncertainty lately in my life. And I found myself saying, I can't, or I don't want to, or I don't know how, or I. And I've been realizing it doesn't have to be I. I don't have to know an answer. I can ask somebody. I can look for other ways. I can figure out other things. And there's miracles happening, and there's change coming about, and I'm feeling it in me. I'm feeling change about how I see things, how I perceive things. Just all kinds of stuff is really amazing. And I came up here, I was inspired by Cindy's little demonstration. Cindy, my wife, and I were watching a video we got from the library the other day called I Hope You Dance. And the video was about people that had been inspired by the song I Hope You Dance, which was written by Leanne Walmach. And the reason I'm mentioning it now is because one of the things that Cindy and I were really impressed with is a group of people in a large city, I don't remember, I think it was Pittsburgh or Philadelphia or somewhere, they had a homeless issue, and they had one building over here where people would go for a soup kitchen in the morning, and then they'd have a 2-hour bus ride from that place to another building where they'd go for health care, and then there'd be another 2-hour bus ride to go somewhere where they could stay at night. And they were spending their whole day going around and around, and yeah, they'd get their needs done, but the city discovered that if they put everything in one place, that they could get a lot accomplished. And so they built this building, and then people came, and they got everything accomplished, and they had spare time on their hands. And so the city said, well, we should figure out programs that they could do with their spare time. And one of the things that they did was they got inspired again by this song, I Hope You Dance. And they decided to take homeless people and teach them how to ballroom dance. And at first they thought
the homeless people thought, well, gee, we're dirty, we're this, we're that. And they taught them in this program of how to dance, how to see themselves too from a different perspective. And that's what I heard Cindy saying in her thing. And that's what we've been inspired by, what we've learned since we moved from our old church to this church back again. And that's what Freedom River is really all about. And when Dennis started talking about Restoration Station, Cindy and I used to talk about wanting to be involved with CR this and CR that all the time. We were always saying, we even took training to kind of learn how to do that. Well, I don't know, I can't speak for Cindy. I could, but I won't. But I know I want to be involved in Restoration Station, and I know that as time progresses, I'll find out where that is and what that is. And it may not be as I perceive it, but it will be beautiful. It'll be great. And just being able to get up here and talk and say this right now comfortably and not feel embarrassed about it or not break out into a bunch of tears like I do a lot, it's all really great. And you're all my family, and I love you all.
I'm going to try to keep this short. Being brought up in the Lord, Catholic school, I had the wrong concept of God, the fire and brimstone. And through this ministry, I found this ministry by no mistake, or it found me, how I landed here. Wow. And the people that are in it that I know intimately, sort of, there's quite a few. And we found this place not by accident. And Pastor John, I went to school with, and Kathy, and Pastor Dennis, and Pastor Michael, that have had sort of the same past. We've touched the same places. What God is doing for me in my life right now is so amazing. And as all it took for me, it was to be willing to let him come into my life and move out of the way. Being a drug addict and struggling with drugs and alcohol my whole life since a very young age is such a selfish, self-centered addiction, and it's really ugly. There's nothing to be glorified or good about it. And to finally, to be selfless, and I don't pray for myself anymore. I used to just pray for me, God do this, God do that. And now I find that the more I help others, and the more I stick out my hand to do service work or to whatever it is, just so it's not about me, because my whole life it's always been about me. I've lost my family over it, and I'm praying right now, and I know that the Lord is going to restore that, and I just got to be patient. But the main thing I had to do was get over myself, as Pastor John said. And I fight every day to get rid of that selfishness. I'm 61 years old. I've been like that. I raised myself in it. I wasn't raised that way. But anyways, I just want to thank the Lord for being such an awesome, merciful, loving, forgiving, patient God. And he waited for me for 61 years. And I just right now want to be a vessel of his love. And I see all these homeless people coming in that I know off the streets. And God has just shown me that he has just given me so much. He's relieved, completely taken away my obsession to do drugs and alcohol. And when I see these people coming in, and I just got out of prison. I just did almost 4 years in prison. And I see how these people that I used to live with and that I knew personally, how far down the scale they've went in those 4 years. and how that drug is just eaten and how Satan just works. And what I'm really realizing right now is how so insignificant he is. I used to say that, you know, what give him the victories now. All those things that I was struggling with, God is using them right now as victories for me to help others. And so the struggles that I still have to go through, they're not sin that I have to get over. They're things that are God's going to help me overcome and conquer that are going to help me later on down the road. I still have a long ways to go, but through the grace of God, you know, I can get there. You know what I mean? I just got to remember, he gets the glory. God really talks to me strongly sometimes, and I'm just, right now, I'm praying that I don't hold back when I hear the voice of God. Voice it. It's not me, it's him. And, you know, anyways, I don't want to get going off on any rabbit trail, but just God is so great. I mean, let's give God a round of applause. We serve an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. So yes, freedom. Okay. You know, I was a hopeless heroin addict, and I've been in and out of prison almost all my life, on drugs, back and forth. I couldn't cope. I was afraid of everything, depressed. I guess the devil had me thinking that that was me, and that was how it is. Thank you. Thank you. I always worried about what people thought about me, tried to please people. I mean, in my normal, I couldn't be me. And I didn't know that it was Satan. And this last almost 2 years since I've been coming here, I've been able to grow and be in freedom. The Living Free class, the 4 R's, I love that rebuke, repent, replace, and receive and rejoice, okay, of the fear and the depression, all that. And sometimes you have to keep doing it. And I'm feeling that freedom, walking in that freedom. And I love this place. I love Marsha. Marsha came to the jail. I also want to, I'd love to acknowledge Kathy. Kathy, you're the silent strength, and I love you so much. No one ever recognized you, and I know you don't want people to, but you are so strong to me, and I love you. You're always encouraging, and I love this place. I've always thought of a church as being like this, you know, but Freedom River is like this, and you know, And I just thank all of you, and I want to continue growing. And yes, I'm going to be a part of the restoration station, because we're not addicts. Even if we were addicts, we're child of God. And and I want to be connected, because I don't want to feel like an outsider, and I want other people to feel like that too. And I'm so grateful these days. I'm so grateful. I have a job, and I'm yes, praise God, and thank you.
Hi, I'm William. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. And man, today, I can just tell you, today has been a day, a glorious day. And hearing each one of you guys speak life, it's amazing, because I've been here for some of the stories, and it's just amazing to see, amazing to hear what people have gone through, to finally hear the freedom that some of you guys are experiencing, the same freedom that I've experienced in my life. And amen. So today is a good day. You know, each day I wake up is a good day. You know, I've shared a little bit of my story. I've shared a little bit of what I've gone through in the last couple years. You know, I remember when I was out on the streets and I was homeless for about 3 years, eating out of garbage cans, living under bridges. Lost. Never thought I'd get there. Never thought, you know, I'd be there. And it happened, you know. You know, it was always tradition for me to believe in God. I didn't want to be out of part. When someone asked me if I believe in God, I would say yes, because that's what I was taught. But the light bulb wasn't on for me yet, you know. I was just always right here. You know, and then when I overdosed 4 times in a month, 2 times on a weekend, and the last time I came back to life was March 10th, 2014. And that was the moment that I really asked Jesus. That's the moment that I asked Jesus into my heart, and that I surrendered, and I gave the reins to him, you know. And pride got in my way after that. You know, I had about 3.5 years clean. It was hard to get back. It was hard to find him in the first place, you know, but he's been here the whole time. And, you know, I stopped doing the things that got me to where I was at in my recovery. I stopped, you know, I started getting complacent. You know, I was going to church on Sunday, you know, and I was working too much, and life overwhelmed me. And, when I hit some roadblocks and trials, I didn't fall back on God. I didn't let him catch me. Instead, I've turned around and ran, you know. And I ran, and I went out there, and I started doing the stuff I hate, you know, the stuff that he hates, you know. And I turned my back on him, you know. And he really spanks the ones he loves, you know. He does. You know, he does. You know, he has to give you that wrath sometimes for you to open your eyes and for you to realize he loves you, you know. Sometimes the hardest words from a friend or the hardest words from someone that really loves you are words that you don't want to hear, you know. And, you know, sometimes we have to realize, you know, do we really want to sugarcoat it all the way to hell, you know? Do we want to be sugarcoated all the way to hell? Or do we want the truth? We want the hard truth, the truth that's from someone that really loves you. You know, and I have friends like that in my life today. I have some core men in my life. I have some mentors that I look up to, some mentors that I talk to daily, and people I submit to. You know, I've had a problem with authority in my whole life, you know, getting kicked out of the New Life program, things, you know, doing things I shouldn't have done, you know, and God's worked on me in that area, submitting to authority. That's something that I've been struggling with for a long time, and today I'm very grateful that you know, that stronghold over my life is subsided, and you know, I don't have to, you know, worry about my future because I put my future in God's hands today. I want to write read a little bit of something I wrote while I was writing my testimony, which I'm still writing. And the more I get into it, the more I pray and have God reveal things to me, the more things that he's actually put blinders over my eyes for so many years because I didn't need to remember that stuff for a while. You know, I needed to just focus on him and restore my life. And then when you really start getting to the underlying issues, the reasons why I turned to drugs and alcohol, the reasons why I became homeless, the reason why I ran away from God, when I started getting to those underlying issues, I started to understand how I could heal. Going through Living Free, going through, you know, getting in the Word, prayerfully reading and writing the Bible, that's when I really started understanding, you know, like the message, his message. You know, so I want to share this. It's just a short little thing I wrote back in October. Let's see, October. I was right. It's, you know, the Holy Spirit just hit you, you know, and I knew it was God because it happened at 10:24 p.m. on 10/24/19 when I wrote this part anyways. I look at numbers. Numbers are, you know, God speaks to me in many different ways, and I listen for his voice, and the closer or the farther I get away from sin, the clearer I hear him, you know. And I have to put the flesh to death daily, you know. It's a daily struggle. And so I wrote, don't let what happened yesterday get in the way of what God has in store for you today. It's up to you to see it. It's up to you to see it through. Put your trust in the Lord and step to the side, pocket your pride, and walk with God stride for stride. And he will give you the desires of your heart. The motions of life are here, but one thing I know that I didn't before, the hardest decisions are yet to come. But today, I choose to have Jesus lead my way. Amen. So, I just want to share with you, you know, your past isn't what defines you, it's what you do from this moment here on out. You know, when you speak about the moments that God talks to you about, you know, the times that he tells you to go and share. It's like spreading the message of this church. You know, this church came and prayed years before I came across Christ. Years before March 10th, 2014. This church came and prayed over me outside Nativity House, PB&J Ministry, you know, and it was a rocky road to actually get to him. You know, to see that he's been there the whole time, but it was a rocky road for me to surrender. I could tell you that. And then I had a twisted sense of God for a while, as in, like, you know, I don't know. It's a long story, but you know, I was praying for myself. I was praying for my outcome. I was praying for my survival. When in actuality, you know. The real survival is found in him. The real purpose is found in him. You know, my purpose is found in him. And I stand boldly for him daily, you know. Every single time I get up and speak, no matter where I'm at, I say I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, because what he does for what he's done for me, he can do for you. And what he's doing for you, whether you realize it or not, he's holding you, he's grabbing you, he's surrounding you with his love and compassion, and he wants you to share it with each person you encounter. He wants you to love on people right where they're at, no matter where they're at. Doesn't matter how dirty they are, how down and out they've been, you know, no matter, you know, when you take a $100 bill and you spit on it and you break it in half and you throw it on the ground and you step on it and you pick it up, it's still a $100 bill. You know, it doesn't lose its value. And I just want you guys to know that you're never going to lose your value. And your ultimate value is found in God. Amen? Amen. 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 Thank you, guys.
Man, I love this church. Oh, my gosh. It's such a blessing. Reminds me of someone you talking about there, the women's ministry. I hope we can get a men's ministry, because Chaplain Bill, just till recently I lost his number. It's always whining to him. He came up in there, and there was only five of us that could be in the dry cells because it was the bad side. And he's like, it's a divine appointment. I'm whining to him. I lost everything in my ministry. I lost everything. And this church, you know, how I'd be coming back and forth. and now I want to be a mainstay. It's like a blessing, you know, Dan, like you're saying, this is where God has me. I love seeing the homeless community. It's just, they're just coming here. It's like God's drawing them here. It's like a lighthouse and just keeps on coming back. Azusa Street, you know how Azusa Street, it's like, we're all hurting people, and it's just, to see the world out there, how we're blessed, and we see our own hurting, like someone was hurting today. You know, he's at the stability site, and like, you can do it, bro. Just grease me. I never used to be this. You guys all know when I was a, whatever, I'm not going to say that word. Ends with the ASS, but I'm getting better. Only had a little couple outbursts today, but, you know, I have a lot of accountability because, you know, the preacher will take your side and they'll listen. That's what I like. I want to get to that, you know what I mean? Because this place is just such a blessing. Coming from a legalistic organization to this where it's laid back and liberal, it's just a blessing. When you think you lose it all, and I thought I lost all a few months back, but this is my family. I love you all. I got to know you all. I'll come up and talk. Like, a few people talked me out of something today, so I'm going to go home and deal with that issue because I got to hold myself to a higher standard. I mean, it's a big temptation, but I got to hold myself to a higher standard and tell that person, if we're going to continue, then this is where I stand. I'm held to a higher standard. But I talked to some of the pastors today, and you guys, it was a blessing to talk your ear off, but that's what it's all about. You can tell this place cares. So all you new people here, this is such a blessing. And it ain't about this building. It's about we're all part of the church. You know what I mean? Like James 4:10, humble yourself before the Lord. He will lift you up. And I try to remind that, or Proverbs, I like Proverbs 23:7. As men think in his heart, so am I. So if whatever I think in my heart, you know, so every time I try to get down, then I try to get up. And work in the streets today, it was so cool to see, you know, someone end up beating us back to the food bank. We tell her about it, and it was almost over, and she still beat us back here. And I was arguing with so-and-so. I was like, you didn't pray over her, and you're the girl. And we arguing, and I turn around, it's right there. I'm like, oh, she's right there. And then she went up and apologized. I said, no, you don't have to apologize, so-and-so. I was joking about you praying with her. She got here, you know, we're just a vessel. That's how happy we are. And this place, you know, I just love God in general. Thank him. Thank you all.
So I have a couple of things to share. One thing I just wanted to say, I just really like it when William shares, like, his quest for purity. I just feel like it's really encouraging. I just wanted to share that. Also, when Dan was sharing, I felt like I heard brand new. And, okay, so the next thing I'm going to share, I don't know if it's going to be a Debbie Downer, but I felt like, I hope it's God. So when the DTS team was here, we went out and we gave these care packages to homeless people. And there was a guy that we prayed for, and he accepted Christ. And I was just so happy after that, you know. And I was praying for him too. But the other day, I was going to Walmart, and then I saw him again. And, you know, I was alone. He's a guy. And I was also in a different state of mind. So I was like, hi, how's it going? And then I asked him, oh, did anything change for you? And he said, no. And then I asked him if he went to church, and he said, no. And then he was like, where are you going? I was like, I'm going to Walmart. But I felt kind of like not, I don't know, I didn't like the way, like, I just felt like, I guess I felt like a different person. And then, I just felt like I didn't want to share where I was going, you know, because he didn't really know me. And then he was asking if I had water and socks, and I said no. And I don't know why, and maybe I'm sharing this for no reason, but I felt like sharing that. So that's one thing I wanted to share. And another thing that I wanted to share was, this is a while back. I was struggling with things that I felt like I needed to let go of, and how they were probably tied to generational sins. And I wasn't sure if I was hearing him correctly about what to obey, because it was kind of confusing. But then I felt like he said that he loves me not because I obey. And I was doing my makeup at that time, and I just felt like I could feel him loving me as I was, his heart, as I was putting my makeup on, that he was caring for me and wanting to show me my beauty, wanting to make me feel beautiful. And he kept saying, will she know how much I love her? Like a lover. And I had been wanting some garlic pizza at that time. And and then I felt like he was saying, garlic pizza is not even a thing, you know? Like he could give it to me every day. And then I felt like he was dancing with me. So then I felt he was asking me to dance with him in a slow dance. So I danced with him, and he just started calling me names, like treasured lover of God. And then he said, should I say more? And I said, yes. And he kept going. And I remember being like, I don't know what to do because I feel so loved now. And I felt like he was saying, oh, I'm being smashed by my lover. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Lauren. I want to share a little bit about a chapter in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. And I'll just kind of speak generally about how this chapter starts. It starts with correction, and we've had some of that tonight. Some people, William, I love the way you said it. I like the Lord spanks hard those he loves or something. It's like, well, Isaiah 58 starts with chastising his people, saying, you're acting all religious, you're fasting, that doesn't do a thing. But then about verse 6, it changes, and the Lord says, you want to know what I want? Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, really care for people. It's really interesting, isn't it? And I look back at my life and my religious life, I feel I can relate to those first 6 verses. That was me, hyper-religious, but did not understand God's love, nor did I love with God's love. But then when you start doing that, there's some things that come with you repenting, which we have done, you saying, God, I'm willing to walk my faith out in talk and walk. In about verse 10, it says, then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. I think I want all of us to receive that promise tonight, because I know we could use guidance. We could use guidance from God continually. Well, he has promised in Isaiah 58, that's something that comes with those that obey him and love the way we have heard testimony that you love tonight. And I know many of you are thirsty and feel a little wore out. Well, that promise, I want to read it again. He'll give you water when you are dry, and he will restore your strength. And I love that testimony. Again, I'm kind of forgetting who shared what, but the power of initiating with God and saying yes to him, then he provides the strength. The power doesn't come from us. If we say yes to him and we go first and humble ourselves, cry out to him, the power comes from him. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. And I want you to receive this, because I'm going to speak it over Freedom River Outreach. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Freedom River Outreach, you will rebuild the ruins of Tacoma. You will be known as a rebuilder, not someone that tears down, not someone that takes and ruins. Your reputation will go forth, and you will be known as someone that restores, that rebuilds, all the way down to the restorer of families. And, you know, I think Dan started it. I'm going to blame him for the tears flowing tonight. But when he said he was going to be patient and trust God for the restoring of his family, this is that promise. God said he will do it. So, God, we trust you to restore our families. And it's hard for us, I have to be honest, Lord, to think about restoring a city and rebuilding the ruins of Tacoma. In our own way, we've all contributed to the tearing down, to the robbing of safety and security. So, Lord, if there is any way you could use us to rebuild, to restore, to bring dignity back, to bring safety back, to bring security, to restore families, God, guide us. Lord, as you have promised through the prophet Isaiah, guide us continually. Because we need our salvation to break forth like the morning dawn. And we need our healing, God, to strengthen our bones and muscles. God, we need to, when we pray, have you say, "Here I am, I hear you, I'm listening." Lord, we have repented of our religiosity. We've repented of those things that have been anti-love. So, Lord, restore us. We want to be known as somebody that rebuilds and restores families, relationships. God, when it's impossible to man, we know it's possible to you. So we stand together, believing for the impossible. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for tonight. Thank you for the power and the unity of tonight. Thank you for connecting some dots for me personally out of Isaiah 58. It's just very redeeming as I look back at my life. And I thank you for that, Jesus. You don't owe that to me. You don't have to do that, but it's super encouraging. And then, as everyone else shared, Lord, God, every part is so significant. Lord, thank you. As Yoko even wanted to highlight Kathy and her ministry. God, thank you for, I know everything was a divine appointment. Every word was, I felt so Holy Spirit crafted. Thank you for that. Lord, we love you. And know that there was no way possible for tonight to happen except by your presence. So thank you for that. Lord, we just receive, as Lauren ended us, you really do love us. We're loved by you. So we're going to end on that. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone, for tonight. That was awesome. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.